morning, everyone. God is good. And all the time. It's good to see all of your smiling faces. It's good to be here. God has blessed us and lengthened out our lives. And you know, with what's going on in the world today, we didn't have to be here. We are being plagued by a childhood disease or a childhood illness that's going around and making sick a lot of children all over the nation. And in addition to that, we have the scare about Ebola. So we didn't have to be here this morning. So let us be thankful to God that we are here. And let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. God, we are so ever eternally grateful for all your blessings that you have given us. We thank you this morning that we have been blessed enough to still be here among the land of the living and with the living, O Lord. All of us are on our way to the land of the living as we live in the land of the dying. We thank you, O Lord, for blessing us and giving unto us. We thank you for the local congregation here, especially our congregation. But we thank you for the churches of Christ everywhere, but in particular this one. We pray for our leadership. We pray for our family membership as well. We thank you, Father, for family, friends, and loved ones. And we pray especially, O Lord, as our sick list is growing, O Lord, we continue to pray and ask you to continue to bless each and every member who is sick. And Father, you already know who they are, where they are, and how they are. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all you do for us. We thank you that one day you sent your Son down to this earth to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross. And Father, for this we are still eternally grateful. We know that you are still in the blessing business because you blessed us to get up this morning. And you blessed us to be able to have clothes for our bodies and food for our stomachs. We thank you, and plus a roof over our heads. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, and now as we go into the furtherance of thy service, O Lord, we pray and ask that you be with each and every one here, O Lord, and we pray for those who still may be on their way. We thank you, Lord, for everything, but especially for your Son, Jesus, who died that we might live. Thank you, O Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus, let us all say, Amen. This morning I want to talk on a subject that we have talked about a number of times. We have been blessed to be forgiven of our sins. We have been blessed to be forgiven by God for all of the things that we are guilty of, but yet God found favor to forgive us, and for this we should be eternally grateful. And by this we know that God still forgives. In the first chapter of the book of John, the Bible says in verse number 7, actually in verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is just to forgive our sins, give us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Through the power of God's forgiveness, we are all blessed. You know, God does not have to forgive us each and every time we have a separation between God and man, which is sin. But God has chosen to forgive us. But so, when we think about it, God is exceptionally good to us. And so we ask the question this morning, who needs forgiveness? Well, according to the Bible in Romans chapter 3 and the verses number 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So some are asking the question, asking him or herself the important question, have I sinned? It becomes clear from that particular verse that all have sinned. We begin to evaluate ourselves when we ask ourselves that question. And that's a good thing. So the Bible has given us the clear-cut answer to that question. It says again, for all have sinned and fallen short or come short of the glory of God. This means everybody, everywhere, have all sinned. It doesn't mean that you are living in a sinful state right now, but it means that you are, you have sinned and that you can fall again. By our nature, we have sinned. By practice, many of us have sinned. And all have come up short. When you think about those of you who may be sports fans, when you think about the great athletes of the world, we think about how many of them have come up short in their particular field of sports. How many players have almost claimed victory, but yet they have come short of the prize? So in missing, not only does one not win, but he or she also becomes a loser. If you don't win, you are a loser. Christians must be as some of the great athletes of our time, and that we must stay in shape to serve the Lord in the manner He has prescribed. Now, this doesn't mean we have to be able to go out and run a 2-hour marathon like they're doing this morning, or like some have completed. It doesn't mean that we have to be able to lift so many pounds of weights over our head. It doesn't mean we have to look physically fit. It doesn't mean any of that, but instead we must learn to put aside the weights of sin. And sin easily besets us, according to the Hebrew writer. It is true that all of us may not commit the same types of sin. We may not intend to sin, but the seed is in all of us. According to Psalms 58 and verse number 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. We all have that seed in us to sin. By our very nature of being born, we have sinned. We become sinners. Not necessarily constant sinners, not necessarily living in a sinful state, but we have all sinned because we have fallen short of God's expectation of us. We need not think that by claiming to be sinless, that makes us without sin. We only lie to ourselves, and one of the components of being a Christian is that of being humble before God, that we might seek His continued blessings. In Matthew chapter 23, around about verse number 12, the Bible says, "He that humbleth himself shall be exalted." In other words, James puts it another way in chapter 4 and verse number 6. He says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." When you think about it, church, if you humble yourself, you put yourself in a position to be lifted up by God. And you know there's nothing more better than a humble person. You know, it's one thing to stick your chest out and say, "I'm the best that there ever was. I'm the greatest that ever lived. I'm the only one that can do what I do." That's not being humble. Being humble means you humble yourself. You bring yourself down a notch. You take yourself down to what God has expected, what God expects us to be. Forgiveness. You know, I like to talk about forgiveness for two reasons. For one reason, we all have a need to forgive. Number two, we all must be forgivers. We can't be forgiven unless we forgive others of their trespasses against us. And sometimes I wonder just how many people accept the fact that they need to be forgivers, and not only forgivers, but also to be forgiven. I think sometimes we get a little above ourselves. We get to the point of thinking that I don't need to be forgiven because I haven't done anything. Well, the Bible says all have sinned. So the question becomes, how do we obtain forgiveness? God has enough forgiveness to go around for all of us. Some folks don't think that they may or may not know the way to forgiveness. One of the steps we are told about can be found in our text. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, if we confess our sins, there's the key right there. We must confess our sins. And then He, that is the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now when we break that word confess down, it means to declare, to admit to being guilty. In the Old Testament, we find examples of confession in Leviticus chapter 5 and verse number 5. We find it in Job chapter 40 and verse number 14. And we find it in Psalms verse 32 and verse number 5. Chapter 32 and verse number 5. And I like this word, this verse. The psalmist said in part, he said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. That word iniquity simply means unrighteousness. Therefore, the first step is to confess or admit our sins. And to say that we have not sinned is a sin within itself because you are a liar. Within the confession of saying that I have sinned and then turning around and say, others say I have not sinned, we are calling God a liar. Look at verse number 9 once again, or verse number 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But verse number 10 say, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So first thing we must do is confess or admit that I'm a sinner. And you know, nobody wants to admit to being or to living in sin. Nobody wants to say that I am a sinner, but the Bible clearly states that we all are sinners. We all have sinned. The way to forgiveness is through God. All can be forgiven, but some will not because they choose not to accept God's way. But the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse number 12, we must believe on His name. Being forgiven requires repentance. Repentance is a changing of one's mindset. I need to stop what I'm thinking of what I'm doing before I can stop sinning. You know, if I don't repent of my sin, then there's no sense in me confessing my sin. Because if I ask God to forgive me for my sin but keep on sinning, what am I accomplishing? If you stop sinning, then you can ask God to forgive you of your sin. If you have been a thief, you stop thieving. You stop being a thief. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and around verse number 28, get a job and work with your hands. The Bible says we are to work for our living. God is just to forgive us if we seek it from Him. As Christians, we stand on the lookout for the day when we as God's children shall have to stand before the righteous judge. We should strive to face Him in peace and with our love showing for Him. How do we let our love show? Well, we let our light shine brightly. Let us be as shining stars instead of dark clouds that roll in before an awful storm. We would be wise to confess our sins to God, for He already knows them anyway. God knows all about it before we even make the confession. But He wants to hear us make the confession. And since He is God, He can forgive us. Remember what our text says, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Now, one thing we got to realize, before we as individuals can grow, we must be close to God. We must get close to God. And before the church can grow, we must present the church with a pattern for growth. And what good is it if we are all sinners and we come to church and say we want the church to grow, but yet we're still out doing We're doing all kinds of things. We're not letting our light shine. When you think about it, church, God is able and just to forgive us. But we've got to go to Him and ask for His forgiveness. When I look at the matter at hand, forgiveness. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing. Forgiveness is a great thing. Look what the Bible says again in 1 John chapter 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We cannot say that we have never sinned. And I know some of us think that it's all right because I don't do anything wrong. But you're still by nature a sinner. How does God forgive us? The text tells us that God is just to forgive us. In verse number 10, it tells us how not to make God out to be a liar. It says to not say that we have not sinned. Look at verse 10 carefully there, if you will, for a moment. It says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. The word of the Lord is not in us if we say that we are not a sinner, not sinners. Because we have sinned and we have come up short of the glory of God. God saved us while we couldn't, or where we could not save ourselves. We must learn also to be forgivers, as I told you before. All too often, and I say this and I'll say it again, if we seek forgiveness, we must be willing and ready to forgive. In Matthew chapter 5 and 44, the Bible says, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Don't expect, church, to think that God will forgive you if you don't forgive others. When you can or won't forgive others, verse number 15 of Matthew chapter 5 says, let's go over there with me if you will. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 44, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But verse number 15 of that same text says, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will you be forgiven by God. And when we look at that text a little bit closer, Matthew 5 and verse number 15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's basic enough for even a non-believer to understand. So as believers, we ought to understand it. We certainly should be Christian enough to get that meaning out of that. That meaning simply says, if you don't forgive, God is not going to forgive you. Some folk think that they can straighten out their own lives. They'll say something like, I'll straighten it out when I get up there. Well, I got some news for you. If you live on shaky ground down here, you probably are not getting up there to straighten it out. You ain't going to get up there. So forgiving down here is essential for your being forgiven from above. In Jeremiah 31, the verse is number 34, in the B clause of that verse, the Bible says, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. That's the Lord speaking to those Jewish people back then. This was part of His new covenant with the Jews. God was a forgiving God back then, and He's still a forgiving God today. Now I ask the question, and I want you to think about it, church. Isn't there something you need forgiveness for? Think about it for a minute. I'm not going to ask you to show for a show of hand, but we all need forgiving for something. And if you don't think that you need forgiving, go back and examine your life. Now, I'll tell you one other thing about that. Be ready to be forgiven, but again, you must forgive in order to be forgiven. Now, I remember reading around Matthew chapter 26 around about verse number 36, I believe it was, Matthew 26, around verse number 36. Go over there with me, if you will. Matthew 26, and let's start at the 36th verse. The Bible says, Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And then he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then Jesus said unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. The Bible says, And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Now, while he was away praying, I'm reminded sometime about us. While he is away praying, and while he was away praying, the disciples that were with him fell asleep. Now, how many of you are asleep today? And I don't mean right now, because some of you may be asleep right now. But I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about living in the world thinking that you are wide awake, but you are asleep. Thinking that you need no forgiveness, but you need forgiveness. Thinking that you should not forgive anyone because you haven't done anything wrong to anyone, but yet you seek forgiveness of yourself, for yourself. So these disciples, as they should have been watching, as Jesus asked them to do one thing, He said, watch with me. But they went to sleep. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this. I'm simply saying that if you're asleep, you better wake up. I'm simply saying, if you don't think that you need to be forgiven, you better think again. You better come around and see God's words in your heart. And then the Bible continues on. He said in verse number 39, he said he went a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And he cometh unto the disciples, and find them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? I asked the question this morning, how come so many are not in church this morning for just 1 hour when they ought to be in church serving God? And then he said, He went away, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation in verse 41. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying, wake up, everybody. You need to ask God for forgiveness for many things in your life, some of us. And I'm not accusing anybody of being a sinner. I'm simply saying what the Bible says. The Bible says all have sinned. All have sinned. And now I know, I'll talk about me for a minute. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I know that I'm not a perfect individual. I know that I need help sometimes. I also know where my help comes from. My help coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth, according to Psalms number 121, verse number 2. I know that I'm a weak individual when it comes to certain things in my life. I know that God is able to raise me up and make me a better person than I once was. He's able to lift me up and make me a better person than I used to be. And He can do the same for you. Now when I think about it, and I go back to the text this morning, where the text says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In verse number 10, but if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now when I think about it, I look into the heavens above and I see how great God is. I understand how great God has been unto us. I understand what God is capable of when I just look around me. I understand that I didn't have to wake up this morning. Neither did you have to wake up this morning. I understand that God could have kept us sleeping in our beds this morning and sleeping from now on, but He blessed us and He allowed us to be able to come out to where the church that His Son died for. And God, we read it in Bible school this morning, God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son. And that if we believe on Him, we should have everlasting life. So, when you think about it, when you look at your life, isn't there something that you ought to ask God to forgive you for? And I'm not telling you that you need to come before the church, but if you've sinned, you need to ask God to forgive you. God is still in the forgiving business. God is still able to raise us up from where we're torn down at. God is able to help us to get up on our feet again. Do you remember back in the Old Testament where many of folk that we thought were good people, they had faults too. So we know that many of those that had faults were, many of those we thought were great men had faults. Noah got drunk. Abraham lied. Moses was a murderer. Samson was a womanizer. David committed adultery. And Peter in the New Testament denied Jesus. But nevertheless, God is able to forgive them just like He is able to forgive you. God still forgives us if we but simply ask Him. God is still able to bring us back from where we've been. God is able to make us something that we've never been if we allow Him to. God can straighten us out. And when I look at the matter at hand, with everything that's going on in this world today, how much do you think we need God in our lives? As I mentioned at the beginning, there's a disease going around. We don't know nothing about this disease, apparently, because at first it couldn't be transmitted through the air, but now apparently it can be transmitted through the air. It's going to affect maybe perhaps hundreds of people or thousands of people. They don't know just how close this thing is. But I know somebody that does know all about Ebola. I know somebody that knows all about how to cure Ebola. I know somebody that knows everything about everything. I know somebody that can help us to live a better life. Now I know somebody who will be forgiving to us if we but simply ask Him for forgiveness. Now when you think about asking for your own forgiveness, think about your life. Think about what your life is worth unto you. Think about the fact that you can live eternally if you do right down here, you can get up there. And if you get up there, you can live forever with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His Father, our Heavenly Father. But first of all, you must understand one thing. You must understand who God really is. You must know that God is capable and able of doing everything that we can't do. God is capable of and able of everything that we would like for Him to do or like to have done for us. God is capable. Now God doesn't sit down and write checks to you to get you out of your bills. But God can make a way that you can pay your bills. God doesn't necessarily give you new cars, but He can make a way that you can buy a new car. He can give you a job. help you get a job. But you have to learn to live with God in your life. How do I get God in my life? How do I become a member of the Lord's body? Well, it's simple. You come to Him by hearing, believing, by repentance, confession, and then by being baptized in the watery grave of baptism. What if I've already done that, preacher? What if somewhere along the line I went astray? And as I told you, I'm not a perfect person. I go astray. So can you if you have not, and if you won't admit it if you have. But think about it for a minute. You go to God and you make your confession to Him. Then you repent of your past, and then you ask the church to pray for you that you may grow stronger and be able to live faithfully from now on. This is what you do if you choose to come forward and ask the Lord to forgive you and ask the church to pray for you. Now, I know that there are some who would say, well, I don't know if the Lord will forgive me. Well, that's not your job to think what the Lord will do. You have faith that what you ask Him for, that He will do it. Not question if He can do it, but have faith that He can and will do it. Now, God is not going to let you win the lottery, necessarily. So some of you playing the lottery, don't ask God to give you that winning ticket. But ask God to make a way for you that you might be live a better life through Him. And I've given you the steps. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.